We're going to shift now, though, to this week's Capital Chat. And if you are a Cap Radio News listener, you know that we've been focusing on new California laws. In today's Cap Chat, we'll report about three of them. AB 539, known as the Payday Loans Law. AB 32 is the Private Prisons Law. And AB 5 is the Contractor Law. So State Government reporter Scott Rodd has joined me now in the studio. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
So let's start with payday loans, which have exploded in California in the last decade. I think we should define it first. What is a payday loan?
Sure. So those are going to be short-term loans or loans that someone gets sort of on a quick turnaround. And typically it's something that, someone goes and gets because some sort of emergency popped up. They have medical bills that they need paid, a car breaks down, and it's going to be a loan that has very high interest rates. And so we're talking up to 100% interest, APR interest rate, sometimes even higher than 100%.
So tell me, with this law, what kind of limitations or rules have been put in place?
So it really tries to focus on those types of relatively smaller loans that someone gets for those emergencies between $2,500 and $10,000. And what the law does, it caps those loans at 36% APR interest rates. And so a listener may be hearing that and saying, wow, 36% is still really high.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is. But comparatively speaking, people were really at the mercy of these lenders who were jacking up interest rates up to 100%, over 100% sometimes. And just to give kind of a scope of how much these loans grew in the last 10 years, in 2009, there were fewer than 10,000 of these loans above 100% interest rate given out, totaling about $26 million for the principal. Fast forward 10 years later, those were about 350,000 loans of those types.
Wow.
And so it became
with an interest rate of 100% or more?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So this problem really grew, and it became a $1 billion industry just for those types of loans.
All right. California is not leading the way, though, in cracking down on this, right?
That's right. This is one of those instances where California is not sort of ahead of the pack. Usually they're on the vanguard of legislation, and other states will follow. 38 other states before California put in protections for these loans, and now California is just playing catch up.
All right. So that, again, is the payday loans, Assembly Bill 539. Now to private prisons. This is Assembly Bill 32. It's a new law taking effect in California this year in 2020.
That's right. It was introduced by Assemblyman Rob Bonta, and it aims to phase out private prisons over time. And it doesn't immediately ban private prisons, but it does try to scale them down to where by 2028, they will be phased out completely. And here's what Assemblyman Bonta had to say about this piece of legislation.
With this bill, we're saying no more. No more inhumane treatment of individuals in for-profit private facilities. No more profiteering on the backs of Californians. No more treating Californians as commodities, something that was infamously said by one of the executives of one of the for-profit private companies.
And just to give a little history, this law has been kind of a while in the making. About a decade ago, a panel of federal judges said to California, "Hey, you need to reduce your prison population."
Right.
They said, the population has exploded. You guys have to scale this down. And to help do that, the state started relying on private prisons to move some of those inmates from state prisons to private prisons. Since then, the population has decreased to a point where they feel as state leaders feel as though they don't need to rely on private prisons. And so that was part of why this effort to scale back from private prisons was
Yeah, and it wasn't just a population issue. It was about the humane or inhumane, as it might be, treatment, the care, the physical, mental health care of overcrowded populations in prisons. So there was a lot of layering to it. But I see in some of your reporting that recently the federal government has awarded contracts to private prisons in California. So it's going to take a while for the impact of the new law to change the way the momentum has been going, correct?
That's right. So the other motivation behind this law was actually seeing what the conditions were inside immigration detention centers, and a number of them are private facilities. And so this law said, starting January 1, the state, or rather private prisons, could not enter into new contracts starting January 1. But that left open a window of, you know, several months where it wasn't an emergency or an urgency bill, I should say, where it went into effect immediately. There was a couple months where private prisons could scramble and try to put together contracts. And that's exactly what they did. And there's been some criticism from some state leaders saying, you know, this should have been something that was an urgency bill that, you know, shouldn't have given that window for private prisons to enter those contracts, because now they'll be operating for, well, for the foreseeable future.
For clarification, does California's law then only affect state prison operations, not any federal operations?
That is an ongoing debate. The federal government says we are free to enter into contracts with whoever we'd like. Private prisons will say that too. But state leaders are arguing that this does violate the law, certainly in spirit, but also they say that they have a legal case. So this is something that's already gone to the courts. One private prison company has filed a lawsuit. I anticipate that there will be probably more legal filings to come.
All right. I'm talking with state government reporter Scott Rodd in this week's Capital Chat. We're going to move on, even though I think we could focus the whole hour on this issue about prisons in the state. But let's touch on the contractor law. This is Assembly Bill 5. This got a lot of attention leading up to the point when it landed on the governor's desk and was signed into law.
And it's continued to get attention since then, and perhaps from a lot of folks, more attention than it got before. So in a nutshell, this law codifies a Supreme Court decision from 2018 that set a new standard for when a worker can be classified as an employee or as a contractor. And it made it much harder for employers to classify their workers as contractors. And that's significant because contractors have certain flexibilities and freedoms to kind of set their own rates, their own schedules. Employees are, they get benefits, they get workplace protections, and typically they're a little more expensive for companies to have because they have to not only pay salary, but these additional things for them. So this ended up affecting a lot of different industries. Mm. People think of gig companies like Uber and Lyft right off the bat, but there's also, you know, dentists were concerned about this. Attorneys were concerned about this. They ended up getting carve-outs, exemptions from the bill. Others weren't so lucky. Truckers, for example, they are largely independent contractors, but there really weren't many exemptions for them in the bill.
So a number of contracts with all kinds of freelancers have been terminated by different companies because of this new law, correct?
That's right. The irony is that Uber and Lyft have said, you know, we're not going to reclassify our workers. They are negotiating with the legislature to try to find some sort of middle ground to offer benefits to their workers. They're also filing lawsuits in federal court. And there's also a looming ballot measure that would exempt them from it. So they're going sort of full force at this. But other companies are saying, well, we have to comply. We don't have the resources to launch this all-out sort of effort to oppose it. And most notably, a publication called SB Nation, which is a sports blog that has a really strong following. They have individual team blogs. They announced that they were going to lay off hundreds of freelancers in California and who contribute to California team blogs, so even if they're not based in California. And I spoke to a couple of those freelancers, one of them, Will Griffith. He expressed some frustration that SB Nation was taking this action, but Uber and Lyft really were seeming like they were above the law.
I think whether it's in the writing of the law or the implementation of the law, something's gone wrong. If you can't hold Uber and Lyft can't hold their feet to the flames, and it's affecting other people who it really wasn't supposed to affect, something needs to be changed and quick.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, you can hear in the background that there was a game happening. Yeah. I interviewed him at a bar here in Sacramento. He contributed to the Sactown Royalty blog, which is devoted to the Sacramento Kings.
I was going to ask if there are going to be a number of lawsuits filed. against this law?
There already are, actually. Freelance writers have already filed lawsuits, a lawsuit. The trucking industry has also filed a lawsuit. They actually won a recent injunction where the judge said, okay, we can hold off on implementing this law for you guys for a little bit and see how this works out.
All right. Budget message coming from the state of California tomorrow from the governor. And if you're going to sum up the focus of this legislative session in one issue, one word, we're not going to have time to expand on it now, but what's the emphasis going to be?
I would say homelessness. I spoke to or interviewed five lawmakers on the first day of session, and they all said homelessness was a top priority for them. And, you know, I interviewed three Democrats, two Republicans. They all said the same thing. We have to address this. So I think it's significant that these lawmakers are saying that heading into the session. Governor Newsom has already announced, kind of giving a preview of his budget, that he's going to have some big spending on homelessness. So you see bipartisan recognition of the issue. Now, whether or not there's bipartisan agreement on what the solutions are, that remains to be seen.
Hmm. For now, you are Cap Radio's sole representative at the Capitol, in our Capitol press pool. So I know it's a lot of duty for you, although you will get a new coworker soon.
That's right. One-man band for now, but we're looking at bringing on another reporter and then a politics editor. So I'm really excited about having that team to take on state government, because it's such California state government's such a big beast. And, you know, I'm taking over the responsibilities from Ben Adler, who was the former Capitol Bureau chief. He's now moved on to a program director role. And I just want to say Ben is kind of an institution at the Capitol. He had such integrity behind his reporting, and people recognize that. On the first day of session, before I interviewed Senator Bob Hertzberg, I said, yeah, I'll be filling Ben's shoes. And he grabbed me by the shoulders and he said, big shoes. And he's right. I mean, he covered the Capitol for almost a decade, and he just has people only have great things to say about him, including myself. He was very generous with his time, and it was great to work under him and kind of be under his wing for the first 9 months of being at Cap Radio.
Ben is staying at Cap Radio, by the way, just taking on a new job as program director. So good luck to you in all that happens early in this year and in this session at the Capitol. We'll look forward to a lot of your government reporting.
Thanks.
That is Scott Rodd, Cap Radio State Government Reporter. You can find his new California law stories and many, many more linked to our website, capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.